that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, as we continue our study on dealing with our trials. On yesterday's broadcast, we looked in the book of James, chapter number 1, and we saw that Christians do suffer trials. And I pointed out to you that the purpose of the trial was for the developing us for Christian service. We learned in James chapter number 1, verse number 3, 4, and 5, that God, through testing of our faith and trying of our faith, will develop our patience. And again, I plead guilty. Each of us have need in that area for development. And then number 2, God will use the testing of our faith to develop our perfection. He said that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he allows these trials to come to develop our patience and to develop our perfection, our maturity, that we may be all we should be and could be for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never easy, but God's plan is molding his people in the furnace of fire, and the trials that come make us pliable to the will of God for our lives. And then I said to you, number 3, that God, through these trials that we suffer, will develop our praying, our prayer life. I am convinced that God will allow something to come, and it may be more than one thing, to come into the life of every child of God that will bring them literally to the end of themselves. For many years, I signed Bibles, and I signed them and then placed after my name the scripture reference of Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 through verse number 7. Those verses say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear God and depart from evil." Verse number 5 is a very great verse to me. The Bible said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And you know what I found my great problem was in my Christian life? That verse. I was leaning to my own understanding. I had the impression, I'm a man. I can handle it. I do not need outside help. But I want to tell you, friend, God has a way of bringing you to the end of your own understanding, your own ability. God will bring you to the place somewhere in your life. I am convinced it will be rather early in your journey, the Christian life. God will bring you to the place to realize there are things beyond your control. There are things bigger than you, and you need God, and you must call upon God in those situations. Now, it's a shame that God has to bring us to those places where we cannot handle them to get us to pray. And we will never pray when things are going well or when we feel like we can handle the situation like we pray when we realize that things are beyond our control. So God allows trials to come into our life to develop us for Christian service, develop our patience, develop our perfection, and develop our praying. But now we're coming to Romans chapter number 8. And here we're going to look at verse number 28 and verse number 29, and we're going to look at a second area of testing that the believer goes through. Not only do we suffer trials, but here we find that we suffer things. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, here is a verse of Scripture that is quoted often, but understood very little. I say this often as I preach across the country. To me, Romans 8:28 is a great answer for me to give you if you have a problem that I cannot answer otherwise. But friend, when it comes to be my problem, it seemed like Romans 8:28 is a very shallow answer. Now, I'm not minimizing the Word of God. I'm minimizing my perception of this verse. But you got a problem? Romans 8:28 still in the book. I got a problem. Romans 8:28 does not seem to be a sufficient answer for me and my problem. But we suffer things. God allows us to suffer these things to display through us a Christ similarity. You see, it's not while we're shouting that we display Christ and a Christ likeness to the lost and dying world, but it's when we suffer. We do not respond to our suffering like the world does when it suffers. And God displays a similarity to Christ through us at the time of our suffering these things. Notice three things in the context of these two verses. First of all, I want you to notice there are those puzzling incidents. And we know that all things. What are these things? Let me ask you a question, and I know the answer before I ask it. But I ask it to draw your attention. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard someone say, well, it's just one of those things. Something has happened, and we cannot describe it, so we say, it's just one of those things. Those puzzling incidents that come into our life. We can list 100 reasons why it did not have to happen. It was not supposed to have happened. It should not have happened. We could see a number of ways that we could have gone through this and this not happened. But here is something that is totally beyond our control. It's totally beyond our plans and our planning and even beyond our power to do anything about it. It just happens. And all we can do is back up and say, well, it's just one of those things. Where do you think that came from? It comes from right here in the Word of God. God uses those puzzling incidents, those things, to do a work in the life of the believer. There are those puzzling incidents, those things that happens. And it does not matter whether it's just one of those things or one of those things or many of those things. But friend, God allows these things to happen to us to do something in our life. What is it, preacher? Look at your Bible again. Not only there's the puzzling incidents, but in verse number 29, there is a predestined image. Now hear me. Predestination has nothing to do with sinners, whether they're going to heaven or going to hell. Were some born to go to heaven and some born to go to hell? No, my friend. Every one of us were born a sinner, headed for hell, and could not help ourselves. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to die for us. And through Christ, we can be born a second time and born to go to heaven. But God, in the New Testament, does not choose an elect or a select, but He chooses whosoever will come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could spend a long time upon that, but that's not my message for this hour. But predestination deals with the believer. And here we find out what is predestined for the life of the believer. Look at verse number 29. The Bible said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. What is the predestination? He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, God's first son and his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was so loved of God that God wants every other one of his children to look and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has chosen to work in our life things that will conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word image here is a very interesting word. If you were to write it in today's language, you would basically refer to a mirror. God wants you and I to mirror the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. God wants to look at us and see himself in us as we mirror back to him the reflections of his grace. The word that is used here in the Bible language refers to the silver refiner and the refining of the silver. He put the silver ore in a vat, built a fire underneath it, boiled it, and the dross would come to the top. He would let it cool off, wipe off that dross, and then boil it again and again. The scripture said in Psalms chapter number 12 that they boiled it 7 times to refine it. But of course, the refiner was not interested in the word of God. And so what he did was he would boil that silver and boil it again and boil it again, cleaning off the dross that had boiled to the top each time. And he boiled that silver until he could look over the vat of silver and see a reflection of himself in that hot liquid silver. It's just like you and I. We have stood by the pool of the water. You may have even did it in your bathroom at the bathtub. And you look into the water and you see the reflection of yourself in that water. That is the word that is used here for image. And God will allow these things to come into our life until he can look over the balcony of heaven and see the similarity of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. So there's those puzzling incidents, all things. Then there is the predestined image. That God wants us to be like his son. He wants to see his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in us. Then there's a process involved. What is it? All things working together. It's not just all things happening. It's not just some things happening, but it's all things working together. I don't think I would love to drink a cup of cooking oil. I don't think I would like to eat flour. I could drink some milk, but I would not want to eat the flour or drink the oil. But I tell you what you let a good cook do. You let a good cook take that flour, that Wesson oil, and that milk and stir it up right and make me some good biscuits or some good gravy and work them together. And oh, I will sit down and feast. All things, the good and the bad, work together in our lives so God can display a Christ similarity to this world through us. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.